Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here for the second matchups episode of the week. This one focusing on the Ravens offense, what they need to do against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday night. Joining me, as always, is co-host Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back on for the offense. Great defensive show. Previous episode, real glad I'm on that one.
Let's take a moment, because I hope people will go back and listen to that. Some interesting things on the offense about a lot of the pass rush things. I focused on the interior offensive line and needing to get Travis Jones the double teams that he commands normally and get him wreaking havoc on stunts and whatnot so that the outside can win one-on-ones. And Frazier really focused on winning those one-on-one matchups on the edge versus the tackles and Matabike as well versus whatever guard he'd be matched up against. And then we also talked a little bit about the use of Kyle Hamilton and the secondary and specifically how to take advantage of receivers that may otherwise have certain advantages against the Ravens, like being able to stop on back shoulder throws against Brandon Stevens, which is a weakness there. So I thought there's some interesting content there. Please give it a listen, if you will.
Yep. And glad to be talking about the offense. I think this week we're looking forward to a continuation of a tear that this offense have shown, whether it be through the running game or the pass game. I think we're firing at all cylinders at this point. I hope it's not a fact of us peaking too early. I'm hoping later in the season we can continue this momentum and just have it just the second memory.
Are you concerned about that at all?
A little bit. Okay. Seen it in 19 where we went on a hot streak the whole middle of the year into the end, and then we took essentially a month off, and then we cooled off in the AFC divisional. So right. I don't want to say I have those doubts, but getting hot at the right time is definitely a factor in December and January.
I'll say if it was a matter of having played bad defenses, then that would be something. And they played some bad defenses so far. Unfortunately, they played Cincinnati. Oakland. I still want to call them that. Las Vegas and Kansas City probably a little better in both cases. Then they played Dallas, who's not very good, and they played Buffalo, who's just in the middle of the pack. And they played who else have they played? They played Washington, who's absolutely terrible. Yeah. So some of their great offensive performance definitely is a case of playing bad defenses, and it will get harder once they play Pittsburgh, and even Cleveland, I think, will probably give them a better defensive effort.
Yeah. Yep, and those are the matchups that I'm really waiting for to see where this offense is at, because once you go against the top half of the league, that's where you see where you stand. And do you have that fear, maybe?
I mean, to the degree I just kind of expressed it, yes, that they faced some weaker opponents, but I've also liked the fact that versus a high scoring, high rolling offense, they don't get rolled out of the building either. So I'm liking that. Yep.
Fair. So for this week against the Bucs, my first matchup is going to be the Ravens offensive line versus the Bucs defensive line. Tampa gives up 4.7 yards a carry, so I'm looking for the Ravens to continue that theme that they've been on the past couple of weeks and take advantage of this weak D-line. continuing to push forward and spring Henry open and prevent him from getting hit in front of at the line of scrimmage. That's really crucial, getting him ahead of the game. With that being said, though, specifically, I want to look to see if Falele can replicate his performance from last week. We need to see if he can show signs of consistency. You ranked him as an A last week as his grade.
Yep.
At least
perfect game as a pass blocker. So if he could do that again, yeah, you've picked exactly the right guy who's least likely to replicate his performance from the previous week. So if you use one of your three wishes, use it on that.
Yeah, for sure. And so realistically, if he can give us a B minus to B game next week, this coming up week, I think that's a sign of continued growth, and he has potential to at least prove his wrongs in the beginning of his career.
Yeah, I mean, that would certainly be terrific. I think, first of all, I'm all for that. I think that they have a fairly weak interior defensive line, which is part of what I want to get to, but that there's more to it because the entire spine of their defense is quite weak as tacklers in particular. They have two players that kind of really scare you on defense, and they're guys you need to keep track of. And they're Antoine Winfield, who's their center fielder, and you want to also keep the ball away from McCollum on the outside, and he usually typically plays left corner. I believe I have that right. So those are the two guys that you need to be careful about. Other than that, they're a missed tackle waiting to happen. That entire spine of the defense, bad missed tackle rates on the interior. The overall team missed tackle rate is 14.8%. Levante David, who's been a pretty good tackler for his whole career. In fact, he's been a very good tackler for his whole career, is having a terrible year in that regard. He's missed a bunch of tackles already. Britt, their second interior, inside linebacker, is also not good, and they're a committed nickel team. So he's on the field basically all the time. They always have him on third down. In fact, Whitehead, the safety, is a poor tackler. The team missed tackle rate is 14.8%. We actually mentioned this last week with the Commanders. Their missed tackle rate's even higher than the Commanders, 14.8 to 14.6% when the two teams played. So it's they have a lot of trouble getting people on the ground. I think if they continue to use just the normal elements of the Ravens run game, misdirection, the mesh, play action off that, they'll be able to manipulate the inside linebackers, hopefully in the way they want. And it could be a big rushing day from Lamar, Henry, or both. Don't need to force it. And also definitely don't need to force the run in particular. If it ends up being a game like the Washington game, go ahead and throw right over the heads of those eight guys in the box, if that's what they present you with. But Harbaugh was very straightforward about it, and he's being straightforward about it to the camera, knowing that might come back to the coach sometime in the second half. They show us a heavy front, we need to be able to throw against it right before the second half against the Commanders. And that's exactly what this is. It's a pretty simple game once you get up to it. If they're committing the extra man to the box, you want to throw. If they're committing the extra man to the back end, it's an opportunity to run. Doesn't mean you have to, but it's an opportunity to run.
Yep, and I think with the missed tackle rate, that's great for a guy like Derrick Henry, who's hard to tackle, whether it be in the beginning of the game and especially later in the game when it gets in crucial point, you're tired. I think the main thing I want to see from the run game is really like I mentioned earlier, the line making it an emphasis to get us these runs, not Derrick Henry making a guy miss at the line of scrimmage and then breaking something off. I want to see cohesive run blocking with the team. And just this could be a get-right game almost for the offensive line based on the D-line that the Bucs are putting out. And like you mentioned, the spine altogether. So really excited for that. Moving on to my next point. With the pass, I mean, with the run game being so successful over the past 4 weeks and with the threat of it being successful this week, I'm looking for the Ravens pass attack and the Bucs pass defense to be a crucial part. Tampa ranks among the bottom half of the league in this category. Looking for us to throw on first down early and often to test the secondary, see if we can get them to come up early on Zay Flowers on these short routes, kind of like we did with this quick screen against Washington early. Just trying to get our receivers involved in the game plan. So later in the game, they're not just trying to get out there kind of cold. Play action will be a staple again this week. Lamar is continuing to feast with these boxes being heavy and loaded. If we're able to be successful with the run, just like it's elementary at this point, it opens up the pass game. I continue to see that theme working this week. It's just the threat with Henry and Lamar is just, it's too evident. You just cannot deny it anymore. So that threat alone is going to be opening up the second and the third level for Lamar to get these balls to the receivers downfield.
The most powerful weapon offensively in all of football right now is Lamar Henry mesh point. It's dominating the National Football League right now. People aren't talking about it as a single weapon because people don't think of it that way. And I hope nobody misses it in the MVP voting this year.
Yeah.
Because when it comes around to it, I think that's what Aaron Schatz really missed last year with his vote is how much Lamar Jackson affects all the other players on the field. And it doesn't matter whether it's PFF or QBR or any number of other systems. They just don't capture Lamar's greatness because they're not showing you how much every other player is improved by his play. So the new comment I've been making, you probably heard it by now if you're on this show, is that Lamar Jackson should get about a 15% commission on all rushing yards for this team. that's as simply as I can say it. Continue on with the passing game though. Let me go on to another part of this is I think you want to keep those linebackers frozen.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And to have the most impact on the passing game. So we know they're going to be cheating up, and in some ways they're going to have to be looking to read before they drop on the inside where they have some coverage difficulties anyway. But this is an opportunity to have more mesh points, more run-pass options that develop from that, or you can have call options that can be changed before the line of scrimmage. So it doesn't have to be, you don't have to, actually change it or decide at the mesh point. And the Ravens don't honestly go into the mesh point, pull it out and throw very often. That's actually fairly uncommon. What they do a lot is they change the line of scrimmage based on what Lamar's seeing. And I think Lamar's getting a lot better at that. I'm loving the way he's strolling around looking for protections and trying to line that up. And it's you gain at least two benefits from that. The first is you can actually make those calls correctly and get the linemen, you know, to be on the same page with you about where the blocking is going to be. But the other thing is you can just work through with yourself. It's kind of like you're bringing up your own play idea in your head and you're visualizing it as you're talking to your linemen and trying to decide where you're going to go with that football based on how you think people are moving around and getting nervous. So I think it's a big part of Lamar's maturity, that walking around. I've got more stuff, but I want to give you a chance to react to that.
No, all good. I think the him being a field general at the line of scrimmage has just been very exciting. And it's the even more exciting part is that it's going to get better as the season continues to progress. It's only literally a year and a half under Monken's system. It's less than a year and a half. So to see this kind of growth and progression later in the season is really the key for this team and Lamar. So keeping this wave going is going to be amazing to see. I think the pass, it's going to be there. Majority of the reasons why is because they have to commit to this run game, especially because they're weak in that aspect. I don't know. So to pose a question to you, do you think they would try and target the tight ends more this game based on, like you said, Winfield and their outside corner? What was his name again?
Zion McCollum is good.
Yeah.
I think that's who you probably mean. Yeah.
Do you think that they're going to try and take away Zay Flowers and Bateman and try and,
I don't think they really can, so I don't expect them to travel, if that's what you're saying. And they have their second corner is hurt, which is a really big deal in this game. Jamel Dean. So they've got Tyke Smith. He's not terrible. Typically has been used in the slot, might be in the outside in this game. He's a compromised kind of player. He's 5'10", 205. So when he's in the slot, he actually gives them a fairly significant run fit player. But when he goes to the outside, he's a little bit undersized. The other guy they have is a guy named Izian, Christian Izian, who has not been particularly good. And he's 5'10". He's a little bit short to be playing on the outside. By the way, 5'10" now, the average height of NFL cornerbacks has gone way up. And now 6 feet, you're still the bottom of the 6 feet is like in the 40-something percentile on the outside corner group. And you know, just 20 years ago, that was an enormous corner. You know, 6 foot corners who weighed 195 they're like prototype. That's like having a 6'4" wide receiver. You know, it's like having probably not quite like having T. Higgins or Darrell Boston, but it's a big guy. They'll go after Dean's replacement at right corner if he plays there. Okay. I think I said the wrong thing earlier about McCollum, because McCollum, I believe, is a left corner. I was kind of like, I get my left and right confused sometimes when referring to the line of scrimmage for the offense. Yeah.
You got to flip it around. I know.
Yeah, you got to flip it around. There you go. I want to see them use some pick concepts to get a wide receiver matched up on an inside linebacker. I think that's really key in this game. In particular, Britt is really poor at coverage. And we saw some great things against the Commanders. This last week, one of the great pick routes you'll ever see was one where Bateman got off coverage from St. Juste at the line of scrimmage, and he actually left him in the outside in a way that is much worse than you could normally expect. But even if he hadn't, likely had thrown one of the greatest picks you'll ever see. He literally had come to exactly the spot where no other event but St. Juste being lost in the wash was going to occur. Then you have this crossing route set up over that. Well, you know, if they're in some sort of zone situation with that, you might not get the same pick, but you still might get to cross across linebackers. You need to watch the windows then, but generally speaking, if the cornerback is trailing you, you have a great opportunity to choose your window where your chance of being blocked at the line of scrimmage is very low. If you cross against a linebacker, then you have the advantage of knowing you're going as a much weaker coverage player, and you could do some other things there as well. So they need to take advantage of the coverage skills of Britt in particular, Whitehead as well, and try and get some separation on those guys.
Yep, and I think to your point, if they're going to be a predominantly cover three team, getting those opportunities with the slot receivers inside against the linebackers is going to be crucial. If they want to play man, they can go ahead and do that. We've proven that Zay Flowers can beat man consistently all day. He had a career day in the first half, and we didn't throw him the ball the rest of the game. So that goes to show you what we can do against man coverage. I think could be a big day for Rashad Bateman. He's shown ability to go over the middle, make guys break them off at the top of the route, leave them at the bus stop, and just get open for Lamar and be present in the hole. So I think continuing to see that timing routes over the middle, spot throws, those things can be crucial this week on the pass game.
You know, the nice thing about the kind of throw we saw last week from Bateman, there's a lot of nice things about that play, by the way. It's a beautiful pick. The concept gives Lamar choices that won't get the ball blocked at the line of scrimmage. But another thing like that is it's just not a pure timing throw. It's a throw where Lamar sees the break and then he chooses his point where he wants to throw the football. It's literally that's the opposite of a timing throw, right? Yep. He gets to throw it after the route. Back shoulder, those kind of throws, it's still not Lamar's game. I mean, he can do it, and sometimes they kind of force the play to be, or they have the first read called that way. Mm-hmm. I just have never felt like he's looked comfortable doing that. And there's also been some problems that have occurred off it. So hopefully this is a game where they create those opportunities. And the more you have that, you know, a vacated area of the field being large, the more you should have opportunities to throw after you see the break.
Yep.
Because it's going to, you know, there'll be opportunities to lose people at that point, whether it's by Flowers' suddenness or by Bateman's route running.
And I think the best plays that Lamar has thrown on time has been the out routes, whether it be the 10-yard, 20-yard out routes, and then also those hook routes in the middle of the field in between a linebacker or the outside linebacker or the safety that's dropped down in cover three. Those routes, his timing has been impeccable. I mean, he's throwing it before they're breaking. It's good to see him do that. I think, like you mentioned, getting those back shoulders and those fades on the same timing is definitely the next step in his game.
Well, he's certainly been very locked in terms of his accuracy. And even when he's throwing any kind of crosser where there's a trailer, I've been really impressed with his ability to solve that problem and put the ball in the right place. I won't get into it, but it's like an outfielder tracking a fly ball. It takes real skill to be able to put the ball there, and it's not moving your body, which is much more intuitive to human beings. You're having to throw a projectile to get to that spot exactly on the moment. So it's to me, he's been very impressive with that at feathering the ball in there in some fairly tight windows with trailing coverage these last few weeks.
And notably, the one to Mark Andrews coming out of the end zone against Cincinnati last week or 2 weeks ago. That was
13-yarder back of the end zone high up.
Yes, that was big time. That was almost that's the championship type throw. That's those throws that take you to the next level as an NFL quarterback. We need to continue to see those kind of throws from Lamar. Pressure in his face, fades it in, jumps it right in the bucket. I think those kind of things is what separates Lamar from the rest of the league.
There's so much that separates him from the rest of the league right now. It's not even funny, but we'll leave that for another show. Frazier, always fun doing this show with you. Tell folks where they can talk to you online.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_RAVE8.
All right, take you through the schedule. It'll be a short week this week. Defensive article will be a limited set, probably of just star quality notes or extended play notes. And then the offensive line article will be out later in the week. But look on Wednesday for two defensive articles, on Wednesday for two offensive articles. And then I haven't decided what the schedule is going to be like for the rest of the week in terms of Know Your Foe, One Last Thing, Friday Morning GM, and then two matchups episodes. But I plan for those all to be out there this next week. Thank you for listening and being for such a good group of people who are into the pod. The support is overwhelming to us, and we really appreciate it. For Frazier Tapar, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next week on Matchups.
Access big savings every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.